forever learning and ever growing, but that's what we're here for, God, to grow more into you. We thank you for the school. We thank you for our apostle, God. We thank you for his life and the anointing that you put upon his life. Keep blessing him. Keep strengthening him. As he goes, so do we. Let that same anointing be upon us and upon our families and upon our callings and our giftings and our lives. And let your will, overall, just let your will be accomplished in our lives. We thank you for this class. Bless the school year. Bless these second-year students. And let your blessing be upon everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll do a little reading. I suggest that you bring your books to class. Or if you don't have a book, bring it. I see you got you. Just bring your books to class. If you don't have a book, make sure you get a book. You are pretty acquainted with me already because you're second year. Amen. So y'all pretty much know how I operate. I ain't changed nothing. The only thing that's changed is it's a new class. And then, praise the Lord, all tests are online. That's a load off for y'all and for me. I mean, I ain't gonna lose nobody test this year or nothing. So we good. So we do that. But nevertheless, my job is to make sure that when this class is over, I've been entrusted with this class. So when this class is over, my job is to make sure you know what's in this book, that I've thoroughly taught this class so you understand what Church Unusual is. I don't take no shorts. I don't believe in raising no punk preachers. Amen. And so I believe that we should learn. So I suggest that you read this book. And I may not refer to the book every class, but you should bring your book every class. I may not be going page for page, but you have your book with you because I may refer to a page that we need to read together. And the biggest part about this, and I'm thinking about this, is we may do a report on the book. I got to make sure you read. Man that don't read ain't trying to grow. Man or woman that don't read, they're not trying to grow. And so it's imperative that you not skim over this book, speed read, but that you read. I know there's a lot of books that y'all got to read for school. I understand. I got a lot of books I'm reading. there's a bunch of new stuff. I'm in school with y'all. So we're going for it. But the Bible says, no, that getting get understanding. So that's what this reading is about. So just be prepared. So I suggest I'm not too settled on that yet, whether I'm going to do that or not. I know you like, oh, Lord, please don't. But I may do a book report. Don't know how many words. It won't be until the end of the semester that I need it. But I'll let you know soon enough. I don't just be doing stuff just to do it. So we're going to pray about it and see what the Lord says about it. If you give me a green light, then we all running. Amen. So church. Now this word church is a polarizing word, yet it's a, in some instances it has a negative content to it. When you say church in the world, you know, our job is to go, you know, all the world and preach the gospel. And the ultimate job is to make sure that everybody comes to the knowledge of Christ, what all of our calling is for. I know whatever you call in the fivefold ministry group, that's fine, but all of it directs to the same thing. Of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all of it directs to the same place of people coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and coming to the knowledge of who God is. This is the whole point. So church, you know, a lot of times when you say church, you hear statements like, I got to go to church this week. I'm going to church, or what church you go to, or this church, that. A lot of times people say, I got to go to church instead of I get to. It should be a privilege. I mean, most people take it as a duty. And I understand why it can be a duty, because most of your church, the church world as a whole right now, it's a duty to go there. It becomes a task and not an uplifting. It becomes something that you're doing for God. I got to go to church this week. It's almost like I'm paying my penance, paying my dues, going to confess. Like I'm doing the things that I should do because I think that this is what's going to get me closer to God. And so it becomes a task, but God never intended for the church to be that way. The Holy Ghost showed me something just walking a little while ago. And, it's a little simple thing. I'm teaching this other class to the other students called Living by the Book. And I know I don't think y'all get that class this year, but I suggest that you get your hands on that book. You download the book. I get it, the title. It's called Living by the Book. I give you the author. You matter of fact, I give it to you now. It's a, what is it? Howard Hendricks and William Hendricks. They got it on, if you're familiar with the Kindle, online, Amazon, all that good stuff, you can find it. You can get it on your phone. You got a Kindle, iPad, all different stuff. You can buy the book for yourself, however you want to do it. I suggest that book be picked up because it's going to change your study time. It's going to change your ministry, whatever capacity you minister in. It'll change it. But this book has me looking deeper into things concerning ministry and how to approach the word. The Holy Spirit showed me something. He said, you know, he refers to it as the church. The first line in this book you read on it's page one of chapter one, I think it's page one. And the first line, it says, the church is not natural to this earth. Y'all see that line?
Yes, sir.
But I like the phrase that says, the church. First two words in the book, the church. The church. The church. Say it.
The church.
The church. It didn't say a church. It says the church. The and a is two different things. When you're referring to somebody, I can say a woman. That can mean a woman, any woman. But the woman refers to a specific person, a specific situation. So now, he didn't say anything about a church. He didn't say that a church is not natural to this earth. He says the church. The gives the understanding of what church is. I don't know if this is a word, but a specificity. Like, it makes it specific. It gives it a defined definition of the church. So my question is now, what is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church people? Is it a person? Is it a pastor? What is the church? If I ask these questions, what is church? You know, the book is called Church Unusual. We look at the word unusual. What does unusual mean? Not normal. You ain't never seen it before. It should be producing things that you ain't never come in contact before. So now when we talk about church unusual, it should be things going on in the church that hadn't been seen before. The audacity of us sometimes to, with our feeble thinking and our feeble mindsets, we tend to put God in a box and think that God has to do it this one way. And if he don't do it this one way, if it's not the way that's in my head, then he can't do it. And I've been expanding my mind to let God do things how he wants to do it. You know, that's the only thing that's going to work, right? You know, his move is the only, the Bible says no man can receive anything except it's given from heaven. So the only way anything is going to progress or prosper is if God does it. So now it gets unusual. It's unusual for God to tell a man to strike a rock and water come out. It's unusual for a different thing, for a man to stretch a rod over a sea and for the sea to open. That's unusual. That's not normal. You ain't never seen that before. You ain't seen it since, have you? It's unusual. God, the Bible says he used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God always has a way he wants to do it, and the whole way is making you depend on him. Not my will, but thy will be done. All right? This is church unusual. His will is unusual. But now we're talking about the church. Not a church, but the church. Specific. And we're going to read a couple of scriptures. I looked up. I saw that the word church is used 79 times in the New Testament. And it starts talking about church. So now my question is, church, is church a building? You know, is church a group of people? What is church? Before we get out of this class, I want to get over the old stigma of church. When I say the word church, everybody got a certain way they feel about it. Amen. Amen. I come in here and I say, what is church to you? I bet all of y'all will describe it differently. You may get spiritual tonight because we're in ministry school and say your theoretic definition, but everybody will have a different way to describe it. You go on the streets and ask people what church is. They feel a certain way about church. They might think it's about rules. They might think it's about judgment. They might think it's about condemnation. They might think it's about people just going up there jumping around, waving their hands, yelling. They might think it's people just praying in a funny language. What is church? Let's define what is church? What is the church supposed to be? A couple lines down in the second paragraph. In the same paragraph, it says the church is not natural to this earth. It's God's habitation where he dwells, lives, manifests itself without measure. I want you to highlight all of that. Underline it, whatever you got to do. Underline and highlight whatever you got with you. The next line says it is God's tactical operational base. Listen to me. Where he executes his kingdom dominion over the kingdoms of the world and his rule into every domain of the world system. So now sometimes the way we think about church ain't really church. Ephesians 4, let's read, I'm going to get ahead of myself. You know the whole point, we're here. It's not about my class, not about nobody else's class, but Apostle class. All right? The whole point of school is so you can see the anointing on his life. The whole point of this school is for you to connect to that apostolic anointing. Because as the fivefold ministry goes, you got the apostles and the prophets and the pastors, evangelists, and teachers. But the apostles and the prophets are at the top. Their job is to see what's going on in heaven and bring that in a funnel down to earth. This is government. Everybody say government. The problem with most churches now is there's no government. Problem, there's no growth or people can't come to Christ. There's no government. They say, what's the cause? The Bible says the scripture. Say, what's the cause that the former days are better than these? Then he said, but thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. The question should be not why the former day. The question should be, where is the apostle? Where is the government? You got renegade pastors, preachers, evangelists. Everybody want to have a call. I don't knock nobody's call, but your call ain't nothing until you submit it to an anointing that's greater than yours. How do you expect to grow? Connection is key. Connection is key. So government. So now the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. All right. This has to be in place in the proper order. It didn't say teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles. It didn't say it that way. It said it the other way around. Let's read it. Come on, look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 4. And I don't have to read all everything. I don't have time to read this. I do have time to read it, so I'm going to read it. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. It's how much you're calling now. It said, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond in peace. There's one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7, read. All right, read it together. Ready, read. Praise the Lord. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Y'all see that? Yes, verse 9, it said, now that he ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, read. Ready, read.
And he gave some apostles.
What's first?
Apostles.
All right, read it again from the beginning. Ready, read. Verse 12. 13. I won't go in there. Lord showed me something and I preached one time, but I won't go into all that. But the point is to reach the measure of the stature of Christ. However Christ is measured up, that's the measure that we should reach. However big Christ is, however tall he stands, that's the way we should be standing. So all of this is in order for us to reach that stature. Now, we're going to be trying to reach that forever. Y'all know that, right? We're going to reach that till we go to be with Jesus, right? But we're still endeavoring to get there. But it says he gave gifts. He said, the Bible says he gave gifts. So we got gifts. Amen. God bless your gift. He gave gifts. Then in verse 11, he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And it's talking about for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. It's talking about for the edifying of the body. This government has to be in place because what happens is, if the order is off, the funnel is shut down. See, what the apostles and the prophets do, they're not concerned about what's going on around here. They're always up here in the heavenlies trying to see what God is doing. Thy kingdom come, thy will. May Jesus praise that. Thy kingdom come. And our Father pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's what they're doing. They're trying to see what's going on. And they're trying to open up that funnel. They're trying to, their anointing seems to be deeper and stronger because they got to open up that funnel. All right, we still talking about church? Open up that funnel. But the reason the power ain't here, does not inquire wisely. The reason the power is not here, the reason we don't see the results, the reason we don't see the things coming, the reason people are not coming to Christ like they should, as powerful as we know the power of God is, amen? The reason is because the funnel has been closed or it's been off because everybody's a renegade. Everybody's on their own. Nobody don't want to submit to nothing. Nobody. So now you have churches that don't grow. So now you have people that's playing church. So now you have people that starting all these churches that should have never started. And so now, overall, see, I'm a stickler for this, man. Like, And I'm pretty serious about winning souls to Christ. I'm really serious about doing this. And as a whole, the church don't look good. I know you don't know you feel a certain way when I say that, but as a whole, I saw an interview the other day and I heard a guy talking about it. He said, "Man, me as a man," and it struck me. It struck me kind of hard. He said, "Me as a man," he said, "it's hard for me to do the church thing." He said, "because it just doesn't look." He said, "me as being logical." He's looking from the outside and seeing some of the stuff that go on in the church. He said, "it don't seem like nothing I want to be a part of." See, what's supposed to happen is burden's supposed to remove. This is what the Bible say, right? Burden's removed, yoke destroyed, increase should be there, healing should be there, connection should be there, submission should be there, no judgment, all love. That's what should be in the church. But if we look at it as a whole, some of that stuff ain't going on. Why is it ain't going on? Because the funnel. Ain't no government. Ain't no lineup. If I ever tell you anything, if I ever preach anything to you, do not leave here as a renegade. Your calling will die. Listen, I'm clear about the fact that I only got the time that God gave me on this earth. I don't get no time back. After this class is over, this is my last chance to be able to teach this class right now. So I don't get this one back. So, boy, I got to make the best of this one right now. I got to make sure I'm in the middle and say everything I got to say in this allotted 50 minutes of class because I don't get this class again. And so the same thing with your calling and with your gift. And I believe God in your gift. And I believe God in your calling. I believe that we are the church. I understand this. But we've got to stay connected so this funnel can keep flowing. Go ahead, though. So the power can keep coming down. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you realize what you're saying when you say, "thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? How is it in heaven? Think about it. Y'all know the stories. Y'all read them. What heaven look like, right? That should be here. And it is the church, not a church. It is the church's responsibility to have that happen. So this government. So now the church has not been fulfilling its goal or its plan or its original intention from God because there's been no government in place. So now it's not church unusual, but it's church usual. What is usual church? It seems like they don't even go together no more now that we explain what church is, huh? It seems like we can't even put those two words together, church usual. What does that mean? It's almost like an oxymoron. It's almost like it's defeating the purpose. It's canceling each other. Church usual. That shouldn't even go. But how many times do we go to usual church? How many people went to usual church last Sunday? How many people go to usual church on a day-to-day basis? Shouldn't be this way. Every time that you come, and then we're going to get into the church. But every time you come to the church, it should be something unusual. Ain't you making no games up or trying to seem special? Or ain't you trying to seem deep or trying to seem spiritual? But just the Spirit of God should be in the place. Right here it says, it's God's tactical operational base. Sound deep, don't it? God's tactical operational base where he executes his kingdom dominion over the kingdoms of the world and his rule into every domain of the world system. Jump down to the next paragraph and skip the first sentence and start over the second one. It says God can change. It says God can change. We're going to start talking about the church. God can change his address and start living, moving, and expressing himself on earth as he did when he had the physical body of Jesus. You can see that scripture in there, Colossians 1:19. Read it. All right, verse, and then read the second one, Colossians 2:9. Bodily form. So now I got to go to another part and flip over to Matthew chapter 16. We're gonna do a little reading because we're getting off of this old thought, church. People use the word so much. Nowadays people are using the word church as a slang. Is that how you feel about that, church? Because they think you're saying amen. I'm serious. This is, you may not hear it a lot, but I hear it. And the power of what the church is has lost its grip. because people are not doing what they should. And because we as a church may not be being everything that we should be as the church. Notice I keep on saying the church. I won't refer to it as a church. Because it's not about a church. It's not about your church or my church. It's the church. There's one law, one faith, one baptism, one Lord of all. Till we all come into the, was that you word? Was it you word in Ephesians 4? What's the word? Unity, 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 unity. All these denominations. I don't know what you need all these denominations for. I took Western Civ, man. Y'all might have heard me say this before. I took Western Civ when I was in college. Western Civilization was talking about, you know, just Western Civilization. And it talks about the beginning of the church and where the church came from and how Jesus, like, I love the class so much because I learned so much just out of the class. Talk about the history of the church and start showing how the church broke up. And that's all because somebody wanted to do one way and somebody else wanted to do it another way. Somebody wanted to control this and somebody wanted to control that. Nobody wanted to submit. And so now you have so many divisions. All right? So many divisions. All right? So many divisions. So much division. So much separation. How can two walk together? Except they agree. The power of agreement is powerful. And I think this goes back to government. This all goes back to government coming together and being submitted, knowing what God is doing in their region and letting him do it. So now the church. Matthew chapter 16. I recorded. I look at my, you know, I look it up in my Bible app. And 79 times the Bible talks about the church in the New Testament. And so Matthew chapter 16. I told you 16, right?
Yes, sir.
16, verse 18. Jump up to verse 13, and for the sake of reading, you would have to read this to find the context. You always want to find out who they're talking to, what they're talking about, who's talking, what is he talking about. You see what I'm saying? When you're reading these scriptures, it's time to preach. Those things are going to help you understand the context of what's going on in the passage, all right? I have to say this now. I'm going to say this, mother clap, but I have to say this. Stop being biblically selective. Picking your scripture out that fits your text of what you want to say, and you don't even know what you're talking about. So you done quoted the scripture, and then said, because you done picked yours out, the one that we quote in church over the years. And there's a lot of biblical selectiveness going on in the church on a weekly basis. They pick the scripture that's gonna back up what they feel like saying that morning. You got to read before the scripture, after the scripture. Who were they talking to? Where were they at? Why were they talking like that? Were they at church? Were they in the streets? What was going on? Who was talking? What's the flow of it? How the wind was blowing? I wish I could find that out. How the wind was blowing? What day was it? Day or night? I want to know. So you can find out the context of the scripture. So you know, we know the scripture about Peter, we built his house upon a rock, but let's go down, verse 13. And before that, Jesus was speaking to them about not taking bread, and they didn't understand it. And he was just saying, don't listen to the Pharisees. All right. Verse 13, they said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, notice the word church in there, right? Y'all saw it? Verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. It sounds like heaven and earth connection. Whatever thou bind on earth be bound in heaven. Whatever thou bind, whatever you loose on earth be loose in heaven, right? It seems like the connection. It sounds like a funnel to me. It sounds like a direct connection to earth, to heaven. And whatever you bind, whatever you loose, all right? So you are a part of it. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Peter. flesh and blood is not. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, I ain't never seen no church built on a man's back. Go to the corner of the church. Go to the foundation of the church. Do you see a man laying down there? A physical man. Do you see a physical man laying at the corner of the church holding up the building? Do you see that? So how am I going to build my church on Peter? If my church is just a building, how do I build that on Peter's back? Are y'all with me? So now the church is not just a building, but it's us. Two things: the church is regional. What's this? The church is regional, and it's personal. Stick with me for a second. The church is regional, and it's personal. You say, and some people preach this and say, "Well, we the church, so it's not about just this building built with brick and stones." I get it. I know all this stuff is gonna burn up one day, right? Also, when it's time to go, all this stuff gonna get destroyed, all right? But understand this: the church is regional, and it's personal, because what God does, and we'll read further down here, what God will do as far as the church place. This is a church. This is part of the church. This is the church building, all right? Word of Life Christian Center, church, right? I remember hearing Apostle Thompson saying. I know the story, and some of y'all have heard the story about how he started pastoring, how he ended up getting Mount Zion, the old church down the street, and 100-year-old Baptist church, and it's the church he had, and then God, you know, I don't have time to go into the whole story, but God ended up taking it to the point where we're here, and thank the Lord. Yes, I'll be telling them thank you every day for listening to the Lord. But I remember him saying, you know, they offered him a job up in North Baton Rouge, a big church, and then he said, the Lord said, no, I'm going to do it in Darrow. He said, well, oh, Lord, thought you was going to use me. You ever felt like that? The Lord told you to do something? It wasn't all as exciting as you thought it was going to be? You thought he was going to tell you to fly over to Africa, but no, he told you to go down the street? The Lord, I thought you was going to use me. He said, I'm going to do it in Darrow. He said, I'm going to send him from the east, west. You here. I'm going to send him from the east. You here. I'm going to send him from the east, west, north. You here. I'm going to send him from the east, west, north, and south. He said, I'm going to buy them cars and put gas in. They'd be glad to drive. Because people are going to land in the airports in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and ask, which way is Darrow? Darrow is on the map. Yes, sir. Because of this ministry. Yes, sir. People all over the world know about Darrow because of one man's obedience to do what God told him to do in that region. Yes, sir. See, here's why it's regional. It's God's operational base. We're talking about the church building now, all right? Because we don't need to balance. We don't need to throw all one. We the church, so it ain't about the building. Well, yeah, it's about the building. Where are you going to congregate at? And so some people preach that, you know, we the church, we not about the building. Some people preach that the building is just the church, and we just whatever. I don't even know what they call us. Right, we just people that showing up. We the members. You know what I'm saying? We the lay people. All right, watch this. He said, I'm going to do it in Darrow. Before this ministry was planted here, before this church was birthed here in Darrow, all the stuff y'all see riding down here, some of y'all wasn't here way back when all this was sugar cane field. Some of y'all, how many of y'all was here way back when this was sugar cane field? Sugar cane field. No. Sugar cane? You know sugar cane field? All this. Sugar cane field. Ain't no neighborhoods. Water running down. Man, ain't no neighborhoods. No stores and all that. And paved streets and all that. Ain't none of that. Neighbors over there, neighbors over there, neighborhood over there. Ain't none of that going on. It was a railroad track in Heronville and Darrow. Wasn't all that. Wasn't nobody trying to find out what Darrow was? Wasn't nobody trying to see what was going on here? But God planted the church in this region for a reason. Doesn't mean there should be a church on every corner. I was in Michigan one time. We had to go to this church. And church about 15 minutes away, 15, 20 minutes away, and I was driving. But every time we go there, just one long, it's old, we're in Birch Run, Michigan. When we go there, you got one long road to get on from the hotel. You just drive 20 miles on that one road. And some of it is a lot of field, and you get to a little town here and there. And I passed by, y'all, I don't want to lie to you, I passed by 20 churches. I passed by one church that was as close as these two churches. Close the chairs to each other. No lie. I'm talking about you walk out that door, into that. You get mad at this church today, you can go to the next service next door. You can jump through the window. Church. How we got churches on every corner, but the church don't seem to be making progress? It ain't right. Don't y'all go out there trying to start no church and God ain't, man, listen. Yeah, this stuff be looking popular. Y'all see Apostle, you see how he flowing, man, but you talking about 30, 40 years. I'm a part of the pastorship here. You know, it is spelled W-O-R-K. For every benefit, you multiply times 10 the amount of work you got to do. Yeah, I see you put this shit in. Like, yeah, Lord, my Lord. He said, my Lord. That's that pastor, you understand? So the church is regional, but people want to build a church on every corner. This is for a reason. They got mad at somebody. But they won't be the boss. Don't want to submit. Nobody tell them nothing. Pastor driving that kind of car, I want to drive like that too. All the different reasons. They want to be popular. That's all ego, self. Right? It's defeating the purpose of the church. So a church building, when it's God places an operational base in a region for a reason. I started thinking around. Lord showed me something better. I started saying, well, God, why is it? I keep up my time, y'all. I ain't trying to get in no trouble. Time to class in 7:30. All right. I said, God, why you said you want to do it in Darrell? I'm not mad. I stopped talking. I said, Lord, I ain't mad because I'm glad. I'm cool with how everything is working out. All right, but I want to know. I talked to God like that. Y'all got to start talking to God, man. Y'all. I said, God, why you want to do it in Darrell? And he may not answer you and be like, boom, my trust. Because I want. He may not answer like that, but you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. Don't make God try to talk to you the way you want him to talk to you. You ever had conversations with people, you want them to say what you want them to say? No, it don't work like that all the time. I started paying attention. I started seeing the climate of Louisiana as a state and the region. They like to say we're one of the poorest states. They like to say our school system is one of the worst. Years back, you know, a couple years back, New Orleans, murder capital of the world. And bad news got up there ranked. One time I said, bad news, number two, STDs in the country. Things didn't look too well. It looked kind of rough. You know, we dealt with Katrina. We dealt with all kind of stuff down here. I said, well, Lord, why? He started showing me. He said, I put it in a region, and I put it in a place where it was needed. He said, I put it in a region and a place where only I can do something to make it happen. You know, can't nobody say it ain't nothing but God. We'd have moved to New York. Apostles start a church that has 60,000 members, I guarantee you. We move to Atlanta, it'll be a mega church. We move to your big cities, no diss on the big city, no disrespect. Go ahead, big cities, no disrespect on them. But if you move it there, people just going to flock from all over. See, you in Darrow, and people flocking. You can't put that on nobody else but God. You can't put that, y'all here, you can't put that on nobody. You come to school down here, you can't put it on nobody else but God. You see what I'm saying? People, we tend not to look at it. I pay attention to it every day. God said, I put it in a region where it's needed. I dropped this regional operational base. That's what the book says, huh? Yes. He said it's God's, I ain't king, you pastor, but it's God's tactical operational base where he executes kingdom. He executes his kingdom. Dominion over the kingdoms of the world. The kings of the world think they got the answer, but they don't. The only kingdom that has the answer is the kingdom of God. So it's not his operational base. Well, he executes. Executive. He executes. He executes. This statement has so much power in it. His kingdom dominion over the kingdoms of the world and his rule to every domain of the world. So now the two parts. It's regional and it's personal. It's regional, not gonna fight in the book. It's regional and it's personal. It talks about regional. It's regional and it's personal. So now it's regional because God dropped the church in a place to affect that region. See, this is what government about. God, they got too many pastors. I'm just being honest with y'all. There's too many of them. And it's not my job to go to your churches and tell you you're not a pastor. It's not my job. It's between you and the Lord, all right? I'm not going on this renegade mission to tell you who's supposed to be a pastor or not. But I know that there's too many. Y'all know it too, don't you? There's too many. And see, what God does is drops. He places the church in a region to affect that whole region. And the job is, and we're going to read it further in the book, and we read it in the chapters, and some of the stuff we may not read, you have to read it for yourself. But he places an anointing in that area to seize up the spiritual powers that's in the area. And it's a calling the will of God to be in the area and canceling the will of the enemy. The spiritual wickedness in high places, huh? That doesn't necessarily mean spirits flying over your head. Sometimes spirits using people in high places. And so it's for this is why I don't see why people got a problem with the increased message, with the prosperity message. Dominion, that's part of dominion. So these powers that be are not the powers that be unto me. Because I'm in control of my own. God is in control. He drops it in a region to cover the whole region. See, apostles here for a reason. To cover this whole region. I'm talking about Louisiana, Mississippi, you name it. To cover the region. To be able to bind strongholds and to, watch this, to open up heaven. So that God's will can be done in that region. It's regional. Now, it's personal because you are the church. This person talking about Peter. Upon Peter, I'm on you. That was Peter. And on this rock, I'm going to build a church. It's talking about you. Talk about the church in you. You are the church. Talking about this scripture we just read, talking about bodily form. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? On the inside of you. You are the church. Let's be honest. The church building has no power until the church walks in the church. What is building going to do if don't nobody show up? What is going to, it's going to rot. It's going to break down. Ain't nothing going to happen if we don't come in and bring life. If we don't come in and breathe into the church. Reasonable, personal. The first scripture we go to when we start talking about the church, you know, our favorite scripture, forsake not the assembly of yourselves, right? Right? Amen. Don't forsake being assembled because you should be assembled because I ain't got time to read all these scriptures, but it starts talking about the church again, and it says, but two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. It starts talking about opening up heaven. See, when we come to the church on Sunday morning, there should be something that's happening in that particular time when we gather together that brings a special anointing upon your life. Amen. There should be something that's going to happen in that place, in that allotted time. I don't care if you got 2-3 hours an hour. There should be something that happens in that time that charges you up to bring the church to the world. Yes, sir. Y'all can do regular church if you want, but I'm done. I have written off church regular. Church usual is dead in my life. Yes, sir. If it got to be usual, I ain't trying to be there. A lot of circles we were in. God called us out of these circles. Praise the Lord. Breaking the rules. 7:35. All right. Listen, I remember being in some circles with a lot of ministers, and praise the Lord for them. God bless them. But I don't miss them one bit. God put us out a lot of circles. I don't miss them one. Look at my face. I don't miss them one bit. I love them. But I ain't got time for that regular stuff. I ain't got time for doing the same stuff over and over again. Where's the fresh? Yeah. You don't like stale food? Go in your house and get that moldy bread out the cabinet. That bread with that mold on it. You going to eat it? You scrape that mold off? You better throw that away. You ain't going to eat no old rotted meat, huh? Why do we take it in the church? Why are we not looking for fresh bread in the church? Why are we not looking for fresh manna every day in the church? Look at me. In the church. I'm trying to take it to church every morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I might not be able to get to the building. But hold on. But the scripture says my body is a temple.
Yes.
So I can get to church whenever I need. I can get to church when I need to get to church. Because I am
the church.
Regional, personal. You understand it? So it should be always something fresh in you on a daily basis. If you ain't getting nothing fresh, you need to check out what's going on. Yeah. Now, that don't mean you're looking for something. I'm all about being You know, you have to use your mind. Use your mind. You have to not be fanatical. It's not about up here trying to grab a bunch of stuff out there to sound seem like you spiritual. Sometimes God ain't going to say nothing to you in your prayer time in the morning. He might not do it. Stop trying to tell him when he got to do it. Because he might do it at 12:46 in the afternoon. You just got to receive it, but you got to be online for that. And you got to expect the fresh. Expect the unusual. But it should be unusual going on. When you show up somewhere, the church should be unusual in that place. There should be some unusual acts. Tell me where Jesus went, there's something normal, that something unusual ain't happened. Tell me when Jesus stepped in the building and everything stayed normal. Tell me when he showed up and everything. The only thing I heard ever close to that was said he could not do many works in there because of lack of their faith in that city. And he said a prophet was not honored in his own. It's the only thing I've ever heard about him. But he even said he healed some folks. It shouldn't be unusual. Get over that old church concept. Not a church, the church. We are the church. I read Matthew's 16, and we're talking about, let's see. There's another one you read, and I don't have time to get there. But it's clarifying that the church was not just a building or a place, although it refers to a place, and it can be a place regional. It just doesn't refer to that. I'm trying to read the scripture. I ain't got time to go there. I think it's in it's Acts chapter 7, verse 30, and we ain't got time to read it, but it says, this is he that was the church, that was in the church in the wilderness, and the angel of the Lord, talking about Moses in the Mount Sinai, and he's talking about he gave him all the law and the commandments and everything. But it'll say it was he who was in the church in the wilderness. He was in the church in the wilderness. But I know when Moses was with the children of Israel, they was moving around. It wasn't no one building, was it? But he was in the church. The church was a company of people. That was the church. Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
That was the church. It was he that was in the church in the wilderness. They wasn't building buildings everywhere. But you see on other accounts, we read here, you see in other accounts, where they built a tabernacle in a place. Or they anointed a place as a place holy from God because he saw angels walking. Saw angels walking from up and down in that ladder. He saw angels. So he said, this place must be holy because it's a regional thing going on there. See, before this semester's over, we're going to break down. You're going to have a whole other concept of church, of what the church is and what your responsibility is in the church. And what your responsibility is in the church and as the church. If we don't get those two things together, we won't make progress. In the church, as the church. In the church, as the church. My responsibility in the church and as the church. Acts chapter 2. Y'all know about the day of Pentecost. It says when they was all gathered together in that one room. The move ain't start happening until they all got together. Huh?
Yes, sir.
The move ain't happening until they was all together in that room. There's a mighty rushing wind, huh? We ain't got to go time to read it, but they was all together, gathered together in there. This is the point of not forsaking to assemble yourself. This is what should be happening when we come together in the church building. It should be something unusual. I love that when apostles come to church, you don't ever know what he's going to do. You're up in the service, you don't know what he's going to do. Just when you think that you'd have figured it out, he come and do something else that just throws it off. And the Holy Spirit anoints it. Holy Spirit give direction and anoints it. Unusual. Everybody say it.
Unusual.
I'm going to say it again. Unusual.
Unusual.
If we get it, y'all, I'm excited about this.
Yes, sir.
Y'all too, huh?
Yes.
Because if we get it and we start realizing what church unusual really is and what we're supposed to be as a church and how unusual we're supposed to be, there's an innate. There's an inbuilt. I'm gonna say this and we're gonna go. There's an inbuilt desire in you to be different anyway. Tell the truth. I don't know about you dress different because you won't be different. You know you're not supposed to be normal. Sometimes you go to sleep saying, Lord, I know there's supposed to be more than this. Huh?
Yes.
You wake up in your presence, Lord, I know there gotta be more than this going on because we gotta understand what church unusual is. And And boy, when we get this going, we get this day one. When we get this popping and get this going, the time of graduation, y'all gonna be trying to tell somebody to sit here, boy. You know what I'm saying? And we gonna start that funnel gonna start happening from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless y'all. You know all your tests online, all that good stuff. Read the chapters. Read chapters 1 and 2. Y'all hope you read it already. Read chapters 1 and 2, and then we'll try to make it past page 1 next time. Amen.